and welcome to this week's episode of the Warp World Podcast. This is episode 61 featuring your favorite bodacious bad boy, Chet Richardson. Today we're going to cover cool topics like the Nintendo Direct and nothing else because that's the coolest topic of the week. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome everybody to the Warp World Podcast. I am Graham Poober. Joining me this week, my friends, every week, my homies, my friends, my, dare I say, lovers.
That's right. It's me, Chet Richardson. He's
Chet Richardson
back.
Coming back. Yeah, Chet Richardson coming back. No, X-Water, of course, a.k.a. Chet Richardson.
That's me.
And Jakku.
Hey. They're the same person?
They're the same person. I know.
I like to think everyone has a little shattered. Bit of Chet Richardson in them.
Well, you want to be careful with that.
What's up, ladies?
Right.
Yeah. Now, how are you guys doing this week? How are you feeling, X-Water? You've been back home for like a month now. Are you adjusting back to
Canadian
life?
It's been
about
2 weeks. Yeah, my sleep schedule is trash again.
It feels
again.
Like a month.
Canadian month.
I'm losing Canadian all of my month, good yeah. routine. No, it's been really nice to be back. I'm pretty situated. I think my parents are having a harder time readjusting than we did because like they went to go visit their homeland. So it was like an awesome like reliving of their youth for them. And then for me, it's like I'm in this place where I can talk to about four different people that I can speak well enough with. So, like, I can see my mom is, like, readjusting and my dad is, like, kind of still getting in the groove. But Steve and I and Selena are, like, we're all just, like, we're cool to be home.
Jakku, what's going on in your life right now?
Oh, man. We are busy over here on the development side of Warp World, Inc. We are crunch time. We have a lot of exciting things coming out, a lot of exciting things we're working on and that are not coming out for quite some time. But, you know, we're doing stuff. All I can say is
wheels
that
are
we're busy, but it's good, and we're excited.
Yeah, there is a lot of cool things. They don't show me everything all the time. Usually, they wait until it's like something that'll blow my mind, and I won't like criticize its like usability. it's really cool to see everything that's going on right now. And we're really excited to bring all that to you. So be on the lookout for shit coming from Warp World.
Good shit though.
Good shit,
style.
Yeah.
Good shit.
Yeah. Ate a lot of fiber kind of shit.
I don't good. Okay.
Speaking of good shit that came out.
Good shit. Yeah, good shit. Speaking, that is a good transition, man.
Thank you.
Yes, the Nintendo Direct. I'm assuming that's what you wanted to talk about.
I would love to talk about
course.
The Nintendo Direct.
I mean, it had some good shit.
It really did.
It also had some bad
shit. It had a lot of shit that... Yeah, it had some like milky shit. Some
it
runny
had some,
shit.
It had some,
can we say had, Nintendo has the shits for the title?
Okay, I mean, sure. Usually we don't title the episode like 3 minutes in, but like, bam, just like,
we'll think about
that's how
it.
You do it.
That's the clickbait title. That's good. Like, I'm practicing my clickbait, and I think that's gonna be one that just, they'd be like, wait, what? Okay.
I'm glad you're, I mean, clickbait's important. I guess let's start off with they announced, I'll kind of run it down like as it went in my memory, based on my memory.
Yeah, okay.
We'll show you what's important. They start off with announcing a new Luigi's Mansion for the Switch.
Yeah.
Coming in 2019. I thought that was pretty cool.
I thought that was really cool too. Yeah.
Yeah. Looked good. It looked sexy.
Yeah.
You know, I think we know kind of like what Luigi's Mansion is going to give us. This will be the third. I mean, it kind of seems weird because you feel like there's been more games in the series, but there's really only been three, right?
Yeah, technically two with a remake. So there's
two and a remake.
Yeah, there's Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, that
Mansion
Luigi's
on the
Mansion 3DS was a remake.
It's coming the original, out. Well, that one's coming out because they have Dark Moon on the 3DS, which is Luigi's Mansion 2. And then they announced, well, it's been announced, but they showed it in the direct as well. The remake of original Luigi's Mansion is coming to the 3DS on like October 12th, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the date.
But this is only the third original Luigi's Mansion then.
Right.
Yeah. Have you guys played Dark Moon? Well, Because I'm sure no. you played
I played
Dark Moon.
Yeah, I played both of them. Yeah.
I've gotten
Which is weird. It's just weird because I've always felt like there was more of them, but I guess I'm just wrong. Like, I don't know. I've played them both. Yeah.
They really brought the series they're back games. In the last few years. Like it was like a one-off originally. And then they're like, hey, you know what? Let's just toss a small version of that on the 3DS.
Well, yeah. Professor Egad is like everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like the best thing to come from like the GameCube.
Shots
Professor
fired.
Egad's the best thing to come from the GameCube?
Yeah,
is that the GameCube controller?
Okay, well, that's...
Which we'll talk about later.
Man. That's also a good... But, like, he's just such a cool character. Like, he's secretly behind, like, all the tech in the Mario universe at this point.
I do like that.
When's he going to be in Smash?
Oh, man. That would be
cool. I think he's, like, a trophy or something. I'm pretty sure he was a trophy in Smash Wii U.
I'm sure they have, like, a billion trophies. Yeah, I'm sure he's one of them.
Yeah.
I want him to be a fighter.
Yeah, I like Professor Egad, though. I like Luigi's Mansion. They're fine games. They're not games, you know, that you got to play a whole bunch. They're not incredibly challenging, but they're fun little games. I enjoy them.
I'm wondering
I
if
thought
this
it was,
new one is going to be more, like, which style is it, do you guys think it's going to, like, lean towards? Because Luigi's Mansion GameCube is, like, a nice adventure. You go in, like, it's very much like Super Mario 64, whereas, like, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon is more of a select a level, go and play kind of game.
I think it's going, like, compared to, like, open world, I think it's going to be, like, an open, like, one mansion type game. But I do think it's going to have its own kind of unique gameplay feature, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Nintendo...
Yeah. No, I'm talking strictly in the sense of, like, is it going to be a level select kind of game? Like, because Mario Galaxy 2, for example,
I don't think so.
Level selector. Mario Galaxy 1, well, open world.
I'm assuming it's going to be more like the first one.
Yeah.
The second one on 3DS got a lot of, I don't know, like hate for the minigame thing.
Yeah,
but it
made
sense for portability. Like,
I agree.
It's like, hey, I want to quickly do this. And why the Switch is also portable, it's also just a home console too. So, like, I think they're going to go back to the roots of, like, hey, this is Luigi's Mansion.
Yeah.
Go hang out, do whatever you want.
My biggest hope is that they bring back, like, personality-filled boss ghosts. Because, like, that was the coolest part. Like, each of the big ghosts you had to collect that had a name and, like, a story and, like, you had to pick up lore on them to be able to defeat them and stuff. Like, that was what made that so cool.
Yep. I absolutely think they're going to go back to that.
Yeah. I have to kind of agree. I think it's going to go more open world. I think, if nothing else, that's just where games tend to be now. Like, it's very weird to have just, like, a level select at this point, and it feels, like, very unintuitive.
Yeah,
in 2018 to do that, you know.
Yeah, it's not terrible depending on
you
the game.
You can have like an overworld type style thing. Like Mario Galaxy 1, I would say, is more of an overworld than anything.
Yeah,
even.
True.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, would you say Odyssey's a level select?
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's true.
Yeah,
it's not even a level select. It's just like that's just straight linear. Play this level, then play this level, then yeah. I mean, that's. It is, and I actually think that's one of the downfalls of Odyssey.
I agree.
Honestly, is the lack of a central overworld hub that you can return back to.
Hub worlds
secrets.
Like something that I feel Nintendo doesn't care about that much anymore, but everyone else wants it.
Right.
And they kind of pioneered it, so it's very weird. Like the castle in Mario 64 is its own. Like its own level and its own adventure.
Yeah.
And it really, that is something that's missing from Mario Odyssey in a lot of ways. So I would be disappointed if Luigi's Mansion, especially because, you know, it should be in your mind like one mansion that you're going to search, wouldn't be like at least a hub world, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
A hub world style thing at minimum. But, you know, purely open, I think would be really good and kind of have maybe Metroidvania style. You know, I got this power up. Now I can unlock this space in this area type thing.
Totally, yeah. Just like unlocking the fire and ice and all that stuff. The water.
Mm-hmm. Nintendo, they also announced like a lot of, what do I want to say, ports in other games.
They had the 3DS remake block, which was like Kirby's Epic Yarn on the 3DS. They gave more details on Bowser's Inside Story on the 3DS. And
with
I think
Bowser
there was like
Trigger
one
Saga.
More thing that they brought to the 3DS.
I think it was just Luigi's Mansion.
Yo-Kai Watch.
I think they just...
Oh, yeah. I think it was Yo-Kai Watch got more details and Luigi's Mansion. Yeah. Things that I don't think any of us particularly care too much about. Kirby's Epic Yarn was like not that fun.
I you know what? I forgot it was Wii game. Like, that was the thing I was looking at. I'm like, wait, wasn't that on the Wii U? But no, it was on the Wii. I can't believe it's been that long.
It might have been
long.
Re-released on the Wii U too, though. I don't know why. Because I feel like there. I know.
Was there a different Woolly World on the Kirby Wii U, which was like the same thing, but
with Yoshi. Yeah.
But it was nicer because like it was yarn themed, but the gameplay was still Yoshi gameplay. Like Kirby's Epic Yarn was like, sweet. Okay, he's made of yarn and all of his moves are yarn moves. It's like, dude, I'm Kirby. I want to eat stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Yoshi, they showed that Yoshi game.
Yeah. It looks so good.
It does.
I actually thought that looked pretty good.
I do like whole yarn graphics that they've been pulling on both Yoshi and Kirby.
Like, I agree. I like that for this one too. Like, it's back to like this Yoshi's not a yarn Yoshi. It's just a regular Yoshi, but they're still keeping the world like Yoshi. Made of cardboard and like this whole craft goods aesthetic, which is like
arts
it works.
And crafts
it just works,
Yoshi,
dude.
Yeah. It's pretty.
Yeah.
It looks pretty. The gameplay looked, the only thing I'd say is like the gameplay looked really slow.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a platforming game necessarily, but I like its little mechanic of like rotating the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, that was really cool. And they even like called attention, like, oh, what? You go from the right to the left?
Yeah, that's from the weird. End of the level to the beginning. Yeah, super cool. I think there's going to be, if it's anything like Woolly World, I'll love it. Like, I thought Woolly World was like one of the best of the Wii U games.
Mm-hmm.
Which there wasn't like.
Woolly World's attractive. It's just so easy. It's just like punishingly easy in my opinion.
When you're going for full completion, I felt like there was enough of a challenge in finding and exploring.
Yeah, I think they tend to do that with those games. It's very easy if you want to just get through it, and if you want to 100% it, there's going to be a few challenges here and there sprinkled for gamers that want that challenge.
Yeah,
but these games are mainly for teens and younger. They're not for 30-year-olds in most cases, but we're still going to love them. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about the Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe?
that almost annoyed me more than anything, which is kind of weird. Just as a Mario Maker fan, I'm almost kind of offended in some ways. I know that sounds so like stupid and silly and petty, but it's probably the best of the new Super Mario Brothers games. And with that being said, it still makes it worse than every other Mario game that's ever been released. And I don't know. I just don't see the point of doing this. With that being said, it probably didn't cost them many resources to do.
The cost is like low. And I think the point of it is that like at the end of the day, the Wii U seriously had sales. So like it's still happening. Every good Wii U game has been getting and will continue to get ports until all of them are on a platform where they can make money. And since the game's already done, it's not too expensive for them to move it over to the Switch, rebundle with like all the DLC, add a couple of extra features and an easy mode for the kids, like stuff like that. Like they're going to make a ton of money off of it, but it's not like anything that I'm going to be excited about. I've played it. I don't even like that series that much,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they need to make sure that games are coming out on the Switch to keep people interested. And if you've never played that game before because you didn't own a Wii U, because not many people did.
There's going to be a lot of Switch owners, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of Switch owners. It's going to make a lot of people happy. It's gonna pad their software collection.
Exactly.
Which isn't necessarily bad as long as the games are not all garbage.
And I will say, I never played Super Luigi U, so like...
Oh, you missed out.
Luigi U is actually really fun.
You know what?
Honestly.
I'm gonna give a tip to everyone. If you want to watch one of my first actual live streams, you can find me and DJ Cliche Darkness playing New Super Mario Brothers or Super Luigi Bros. On his Twitch channel. But on my YouTube, there's like a video, if you go deep enough, where you can just see us going through the game.
Deep into the JakuTube.
Yeah.
Deep into the Jakku era.
Yeah, like years ago, like probably 2 years before I started streaming even.
Wow.
Maybe three. So like, yeah, you can find it if you know where to go. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But that said, I'm excited a little bit just because like they did add Toadette and they gave her the ability to turn into Peach Toad or something. Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. Peachette.
Yeah, that looks like that looked pretty cool.
That was and just then like Nabbit, which Tropical just, Freeze, where it's like the new characters and features are easy modes.
Yeah.
I was gonna say Nabbit is literally invincible.
Yeah. Well, Nabbit's was in the Luigi one, and I believe DJ was actually Nabbit's because he wasn't the greatest at platforming, and he still ended up killing me a lot. but it's pretty cool. It is a game. It is coming out. It is nice for people that haven't played it before. But I know that we wanted something a little bit more, you know, new. Unfortunately, new Super Mario Brothers U is not new.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's kind of my ultimate, like, issue with this is it's just not new. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's just not. For whatever reason, I don't know. It just was interesting. It was an interesting move, but I mean, whatever. Keep bringing them on. The Mario Tennis is getting a update, 4 new characters, new co-op mode. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the tennis. I'm definitely gonna like I haven't played it recently, but it's enough of a reason for me to like pop it out the case, put it back in.
Yeah, they mentioned limited co-op modes though.
Yeah, like limited time. I think online co-op modes.
Yeah,
or,
that's cool though.
Yeah, so I like that. And they guarantee support for the game, like new features, until updates, June. Characters until June. So like, you can really see the statement they made at their one of their most recent investors meetings. Like they're really going hard with this, support their software, give it more longevity for the people who buy it type of stance.
Yeah. It's nice to know how long they plan to support a game.
Yeah.
You're not left wondering like, oh, are they going to update this? Are they going to do that? And I think that'd be really nice if they continue to do that for all of their games.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, like, if there's a big bug come December, they'll probably fix it as well. But for updates, you know, just like, let us know what the lifetime is.
I hope we get a long lifetime on Smash when it comes out.
Yeah, kind of thinking of that. Do you think that should be on the back of boxes? Like, do you think that should be something that's kind of like, hey,
maybe
guaranteed
not,
to be
just
at
in case
least
they
up
want
to this.
Change it? Unless they put like subject to change on the box too.
Right. Well, I'm saying like they have to have a minimum. They have to say like at least 6 months, and it could go longer, but like you know that it's at least going to have updates for 6 months.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I did like that they announced it because that did make me feel like, all right, Mario Tennis is going to be a game people will play until June, essentially.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't think they need. I don't know. Because that's hard. Like if it's a game's a big smash hit, they're going to keep announcing it. If a game ends up flop or keep doing stuff, a game flops, they're not going to keep doing things for it. And I think that's how it goes. Like Smash Wii U was supported for many, many years. Like they had downloadable content characters coming out for a long time afterwards. I wouldn't say it was the most consistent, but I have to think the new Smash will have that.
Yeah.
I'm happy to see Nintendo doing this with Mario Tennis and also Splatoon 2.
Yeah. Which is 4.0 like, coming out.
Yeah, the version 4.0 coming out, even though I could give a shit about the Splatoon myself, but it's nice to see Nintendo committed to the, you know, what the people call games as a service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to see Nintendo, you know, getting into the year 2015.
Shots fired.
Oh, don't worry. We're gonna shoot some more shots here. Whoa. Talk about their online.
Oh, I thought you were talking about something else.
No,
and I was gonna be like,
I'm on Jakku's page.
Risky there. All right.
Oh.
But how about?
No, that would have been a horrible joke.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we were like, holy crap! I can't believe he did that.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Oh no.
Okay.
Okay. So
moving on.
Katamari Damacy coming to the Switch was.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, but it's like a remake, whatever.
Yeah, it's a remake, but like it's never been before on a Nintendo system, right?
Yeah, that's cool.
So that's cool.
I mean, Katamari's dope.
It is. I mean, it's going to be something for people that never played it before. I think that's cool. I figure we're going to save all the online stuff for one thing. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Final Fantasy. I've been dying to talk to you guys about Final Fantasy.
Which one? Which one of the 28
every Final
that they
Fantasy
announced?
That's ever?
Yeah,
every Final Fantasy ever is coming out for it. But I think the biggest one outside of Crystal Chronicles, which I know you want to talk about, Jakku, but they announced the original Final Fantasy VII is going to be out on the Switch, which is
10
a big
and
deal.
And 10.2 HD.
And 12.
Yeah.
Damn.
And 15.
Yeah,
and 15 Pocket.
Yeah.
And 15 Pocket or something.
And like a few
like
little chibis story only mode
one.
And like Mystery Dungeon and a few other side games.
I think the main takeaway was like Final Fantasy, Square Enix and Final Fantasy like is back on Nintendo consoles in a big way.
Yeah, yeah, this is the first time you can play Final Fantasy VII on a Nintendo console, just like it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I was when they first showed Final Fantasy VII, I thought remake.
Yeah, I was thinking the remake was going to get some sort of news at first as well.
I was like, holy shit, did they steal it from Sony? Because that would have been insane. Like, Final Fantasy VII remake, Nintendo exclusive.
I don't know how that would ever happen, but if it did, that would be like the biggest shot fired in gaming.
Right. But I was excited to see that they brought back, they're bringing the original games. Weird that they skipped 8. I wonder if there's licensing or anything. Like,
yeah, that's
maybe
what
the music.
I've heard 8 is it 8 or 6 that people love? One of those
six
I hear get a lot
six
of praise.
6 is my favorite.
6 is most people's is favorite. Best. Yeah. 8 yeah. 8 is just another 3D PS1 but it was more realistic graphics. Uh-huh. It was fine. I think 7 and 9.
Yeah, I think maybe just people like dislike 8.
Maybe.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe it's just not worth bringing it out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Either way, like 7 is just such a huge like I think Final Fantasy 7 to most people is one of the greatest RPG of all time.
Yeah, it's definitely got a lot of clout behind it.
Yeah, 7 was great. I liked 9 a lot. I didn't play after that. 11 was the next one I played, and that was MMO style. Since then, I haven't really played any of them.
Yeah, I'm not too well versed on Final Fantasy. I've played like 1 and 2 and 3 a little bit, like the remakes as they came out on Nintendo consoles. And I think I got like halfway through 7 when I was in high school, but just tapered off playing it.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm... I think I'm going to wait for the remake of 7. Probably get 9 on the Switch. And I don't want to like play 7 again with what it looks like right now. I think I'd wait for the remake.
Yeah.
But Crystal Chronicles. Let's talk about the Crystal Chronicles.
Talk about Crystal Chronicles. I have one concern.
Oh, all right.
I saw when they were showing the multiplayer gameplay, I saw that they didn't incorporate some kind of feature to have one of the Moogles carrying the chalice in 4-player games, which I was like the thing that I want more than anything.
Oh, screw that, man. No, you got to have the original game.
Dude, original game was awesome, but being chalice bitch was the worst.
Then don't be chalice bitch.
Has to be chalice bitch.
You got to find the low totem friend, all right?
I don't even know what any of this means,
all right,
which means I'm probably going to be chalice bitch.
Let's set the stage. In Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, you had to have 4 Game Boy Advances, 4 link cables, a GameCube, a TV, a house, and 3 friends. And electric. And yeah, you had to have all these things. Nintendo made you spend so much money. It was ridiculous. In the game, you controlled your character with a Game Boy connected up to the GameCube. But there was a bubble that you could not leave. So like you could wander off and you'd be outside of this bubble. That bubble was the chalice. The chalice protected.
Think
you
of
from
it
this
like
gas.
The Fortnite spheres. It's fixed size and it follows this chalice. And when you're playing single player, you have a Moogle that carries it around for you, which is great. But when you're playing 2 to 4, that Moogle just fucks off and someone has to be chalice bitch. And
yeah, so
it makes
if
the
you
game
wanted,
so much worse because you run into an encounter. And like your buddy is fighting and you're like, okay, hold on. Let me put down the chalice. Okay. Oh, we got him. Okay. I'll pick it back up. Let's keep. Oh, let me put the chalice back down so I can fight. It might be because I played with 2 people as well. That made it extra frustrating.
Oh, you had to play with 3.
Yeah,
so
I didn't
it
have
makes
that many
for
friends.
A very, it makes for a very interesting style of gameplay. It's very unique in that like one person will typically not always be fighting. They kind of move around to make sure they keep you guys in the circle and they can sometimes put it down to help out. So that's the game. It's pretty dope. It
is
on
really
GameCube
fun.
Only.
4 playable and, races.
Yeah. It was pretty fun. I was so blown away that they announced this. Like, I was not expecting this to ever come out.
Yeah.
Again.
Especially considering that, like, every sequel they did for the game was, like...
Was garbage.
Was, like, this weird chibi style on the DS. And then they had the Crystal Bears, what was like, hey, look, it's nothing to do with the universe we originally built.
Yeah, so just garbage after that. But I'm excited that they're adding new dungeons. And it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think, like, this would be a great Friends Friday.
Or even like a Wednesday night game.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Crystals with the boys.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, my experience of this game was a little unique, though. I want to say,
okay.
I had I was able to play the Japanese version because it came out 1 or 2 months before the American version came out. But you needed to know how to read Japanese to really play it. Yeah. And we didn't really know. And so, like, the orbs to get, like, fire and healing and stuff, because, like, you don't just have abilities. You have to also have these orbs in your inventory.
Yeah.
So we didn't know what was which, except for by the color. So, like, we had the guy with the green orb, the guy with the red orb, and the green healed. And we're like, you're the healer. You got to heal us. And we got in so many fights as friends because, like, he's like, no, I didn't have the green one. I had the blue one. And so we died because we're like, you were supposed to heal. It was so much more fun not being able to read the game. I kind of think we should play with the Japanese version.
I'll give it a shot, but I want to say I'm not sold on the idea quite yet.
It makes it so much more intense.
I remember it was really cool that, like, to make your second and third level spells, like Fayara and Fayaraga and everything like that, mm-hmm. it was like you had to stack casts with your friends. So you had to, like, cast...
Yeah.
Both of you cast fire in the same little circle to make a bigger, more powerful Fayara.
Yeah. I say, you know, we're trying in Japanese. But the good news is, X-Water, that we're not sitting right next to each other. And you probably had the same thing where your friends would, like, hit you because you were so close. You're like, ah, you did it wrong. And then they yelled at you. So we'll be safe as long as we play online. But exactly. I'm super excited. I'm pumped. God.
I can tell you're nerding out over this game in a way I haven't it's, seen you in a long time.
It's an interesting game. It's very
you're
unique.
Probably one of the few people, like, I have to imagine that just not many people, because I've never heard
I don't
of
think
this
a lot of people
before,
are going to buy this game.
Well, I don't think sucks a lot of people them. Had 4 Game Boy Advances to have the nostalgia that you guys have on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I remember. Now,
that being said, if Square Enix ran some really, you know, good sponsored streams with, like, 4 or 5 people to get them to play this game, they could actually probably make some headway, because it sounds like the way you guys are geeking out on it, you're selling me on it just on the, like, how excited you two are, because it's like when we talk about Killer Queen.
Right.
It's what it feels like.
It was
like.
So much fun. And I was lucky enough to, I had, like, the 4 link cables. Because they were like $10 and I had a job at that point. But I had a Game Boy Advance, the original, and I had bought an SP. So I had 2. So, like, I just needed 2 more friends that had Game Boys. And it
I was
it
in
really
the same
convenient.
Boat. I had an Advanced and an SP. Actually, wait, no. I had a GameCube Game Boy player and I had an SP. So we would bring over an extra TV and hook the GameCube with the Game Boy player on as one of the Game Boys.
I so want to do a stream with 5 GameCubes.
I know.
Because I want to do 5 GameCubes, 4 Game Boy players on them, 1 game connected up with, like, and we could stream it all. It'd be so much fun.
Listen, if I'm coming to visit
that, like,
you next week,
people?
I can bring my GameCube, Game Boy player, and Game Boy Advanced link cable. I can bring one quarter
I got everything.
Of that setup.
I got all of it.
Oh.
I have the house, I have the electricity, I have the Game Boys, I have the GameCubes, I have the game. I have everything
this
we
is...
need.
This is, okay.
All right.
We're getting
sidetracked.
You guys can organize your date later. We have a podcast to get to.
All right. Let's go to a game that Lou loves. City Skylines.
Well, you know, I was pumped about City Skylines. And I think we should lump in City Skylines, Diablo, and Civ 6 all together when we talk about it. 3 really big PC games.
Here's one thing that concerned me. Yeah. For everything other than Diablo, the frame rates looked like garbage.
Ooh. Oh, they look so bad.
Yeah.
Well, City Skylines is a pretty, like, it's actually a graphically intense
game. That's what I was
graphically
thinking.
Intense,
like,
and
it's kind of a resource hog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not just graphics. It's definitely a lot of just computational power required for that game. So that is going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But yeah.
City Skylines specifically looked like it was running at, like,
24 frames.
Like, yeah, like 10
somewhere
frames.
Somewhere between 10 to 25, yeah.
Yeah,
and 240p resolution. Like, it looked really bad. But at the same time, like, that would also, to me, be the hardest one to play without a mouse.
Yeah.
But Civ 6, I thought, actually didn't look too bad. At first, I was kind of excited because it looked like they were kind of doing, like, a cartoony Civ.
Yeah,
like,
right.
The way they announced it was, like, such a debate.
Yeah, it looked completely different.
Yeah, because I thought, like, they were going to do kind of, like, a Switch, more exclusive, maybe, like, a less intense, you know, more like mobile version,
like
of
the Final
Civ.
Fantasy 15 that we're getting.
Yeah. Like, I thought, which I think would be a pretty cool thing for consoles. Like, I don't think that would be a bad game necessarily.
No, I mean, it's Civ. Like, you're but not really playing it for the amazing graphics and stuff. You're playing it just for the fun gameplay.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know. It's that'll be interesting.
Diablo looked cool.
Diablo yeah, did look cool. Good.
I wanted them to show the MSRP because I'm picking it up only if it's not full price. Like
if it's like 20 like 80 bucks. Yeah. I mean, I already have Diablo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I already have Diablo 3, and like I've played the shit out of it when it first came out. Like I can't see myself diving back into it just because it's on Switch when Switch has so many other great games already. I mean, these are all three good games that if you don't have a gaming PC, like you're not gonna be mad I'm picking these up.
Right.
That's for sure.
Diablo 3, though, the big thing on it is you can play as Ganon.
Yeah, the warrior gets the Ganondorf skin augmentation or whatever, which is so cool.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, fuck me, right? Right now I'm getting it.
Now you're like, shit, now I need it. No,
that's really cool.
It is really cool. And we were talking about it on Wednesday. I think like if it's $30, that's like the sweet spot. Yeah. 30 or under, it's instant buy.
$30 and I'll do like a playthrough with the boys.
Yeah, if it's 60, maybe.
Because that's the thing, I'm not interested later in like on. Going through and like redoing the end game. Like I'm over that. But I'd be down to like re-kick the Skeleton King's ass and, you know, go fight Belial, the Lord of Lies and all that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a fun game, but doing the grind again would definitely not be
ideal. What was the dude's name who was like the Lord of War or whatever, or the strategist? He was in the third act. I don't remember his name, but I remember how annoying that story was to me because he's like, I am the demon known for best strategy in the world. Here are my entire plans on how I'm going to beat you and how to stop me.
Well, that's what bad guys do. They always explain their plans and their motivation.
I get it happening for the Skeleton King and the Lord of Lies, but for the guy who's the tactician, that one was
that's
a little.
Just what bad guys can't help it.
That's what they do.
Bad guys who don't do that, you don't even know about them because they just get away with it. Yeah. So.
you wouldn't even remember him right now if he didn't do that.
Yeah,
you know that's exactly. A good point. Well, I didn't remember his name, so.
Yeah, but still, you wouldn't even remember anything.
Fair. Right.
Let's move on. The biggest one that they announced, I think we're ready to talk about this. And the way they announced it was actually really good because. So they announced a new Animal Crossing, which is a big game for Nintendo. Lots of fans. I would not say I'm a fan of that genre. I fucking love Animal Crossing. but the way they announced it was they had Isabelle, which is an Animal Crossing character, very popular one. They had it look like she was in game in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah. It did say not in game footage.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know, but that's like small. Yeah, it was small and tiny.
And I honestly,
you know?
When I saw it, I'm like, that might just be because they're not ready to show yet. You know?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Like they had the same thing for Metroid Prime 4. Didn't mean they didn't announce Metroid Prime 4. Yeah. It said not in game footage. Like, duh. It's a fucking title
only,
screen. But anyway,
only 3 more months till that screen. One, right, guys?
Oh,
that's the sleeper hit.
Okay, moving on. Yeah, my prediction on that back at E3 was dead wrong. So then they announced, basically it was like this all a big ruse to announce Isabelle for Smash. And it's not that like people weren't excited to get more Smash news. They were, but I wouldn't say Isabelle was like, they already have the villager, you know, Animal Crossing villager. It wasn't like Isabelle was like a character that people were really like clamoring for.
How upset do you think
Waluigi?
I would have rather had Tom Nook any day of the week or Rossetti, just for the record.
How upset do you think Waluigi fans are?
Isabelle is way lower in the popularity scale than Waluigi.
Yeah. Like
not even in her realm.
She's probably going to be an Echo character, I would think.
No, she's Waluigi not an Echo.
She's not?
No, oh, wow. She's got... Because, no. Like, she has like completely unique and original moves from Villager. It's a lot more like a Fox and Falco situation.
Yeah.
Where like at this point, Falco's like not just a clone of Fox was in Melee. Like they share a couple of moves, but like she has a fishing rod, dude.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh,
yeah.
That changes it. So interesting.
I would rather had Tom Nook just like robbing people.
I think Tom Nook
would
have really
stealing their items.
Tom Nook would have been better. But So they announced Isabelle. It was, I think for me at first, I was like, wow, touch me in the morning and walk away. I thought you were going to announce a new Animal Crossing. And then, boom, they flashed to Tom Nook, our boy, exploiter of cash and the downtrodden. I guess not our boy when you say
he's
it like
a terrible, terrible person.
Yeah,
he puts you in massive debt and then tricks you, then tricks you into getting deeper in debt.
Yeah, okay. Loan Shark Tom Nook, let me rephrase
this.
Announces, basically, he comes out and they have in what is noticeably a very much, what do I want to say, a graphically sexier version of that last scene, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And he announces a new Animal Crossing game.
Yeah.
And boom, end of direct, which is not the end of, it's not us talking about the end. We still have one more thing to talk about. But I like the way they announced it, and two, I'm just pumped to know that a new Animal Crossing is coming, and I think everybody else in the world is, because people have been clamoring for it.
Well, I'm glad that it's like a, it looks like it's going to be a return to the roots of Animal Crossing too. I don't want to be the mayor. I don't, you know, I don't want to go to camp. I want old Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Being the mayor was
that's kind of what I got too.
New Leaf was like, a really good entry in the series. I think being mayor was pretty sweet.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, I thought New Leaf was
good. It wasn't bad by any means. I just wanted, I like being in debt and not having to control the town, because like it got annoying to be like, where should I put this? I'm like, shut up. Just let me go give this animal a shirt because I am busy getting out of debt. So yeah,
we just want to teach kids the real The real scare behind debt.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting. It's nice. I think going between, like going back and forth between mayor and not mayor or something like that could be good. Keep it a little fresh. Or maybe we get a different role. Maybe we're no longer mayor. And
maybe you work at the post office
cop.
To start.
Yeah.
And you like get different jobs as you get more important in the city. And eventually you get to retire and live on the beach with the turtle guy who sings songs.
Oh.
Or the frog dude.
Yeah.
He's my favorite. When you trip to the island in the 3DS version, and he'll sing a song, like he has like six different songs written, and they're like the cutest little like, "Oh, me lady said buy me a frog, and I said, oh, I ain't got no money, so now I'm left with nowhere to go and no honey."
Oh wow,
he did that in the GameCube version.
I don't remember the GameCube version that well.
You needed the Game Boy and the GameCube adapter.
Yeah. Anyway, getting back to this before we bust it out.
Which was Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, you know?
Yeah, Jesus Christ, you guys are just like on one today. Like, I mean, I don't mind a sidetrack, but we're getting sidetracked. I don't even know what I want to fucking say. I agree with you, Jakku, though. That it does look like it. I mean, from the brief, it was just an announcement. It wasn't a trailer, it wasn't gameplay or anything, but it did just give you that vibe that, like, okay, we're going back to kind of a GameCube style of Animal Crossing, which would be really dope. But I just feel like also probably a very big Animal Crossing as well.
Yeah.
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 It's going to be dope.
So,
and on Switch.
I think it'll be good. Yeah, I think it'll be good. It'll be great on the Switch. I'm interested to see if it'll have any interaction thing. Oh, one more thing I want to talk about is board games.
Board games.
Actually, board games on the Switch.
I was super hype about that one, because that's going to be fun for Friday.
That's actually... Well, they're not online.
Oh shit!
So,
really? Oh, I thought
they're co-op, local co-op only. It seemed like, but I do think that there's a lot of potential there. Especially they showed Pandemic Legacy, not Pandemic, but Pandemic Legacy is something that they should bring to it, either as an expansion or something. But just because having it in the video game form is almost better, because all the rules will be followed and all the stickers will be on the board. You don't feel bad about like ruining a board game board, you know what I mean? You can play it over and over again. So I think the legacy games could really benefit from that. So I really hope to see more board games on the Switch. But I, like you said, I wish they were online, A. And B, I wish you could do, instead of one Switch, local co-op, four Switches.
Yeah, maybe that will come out. I don't know. I think like board games in general would be really nice for the Switch, or maybe the Switch XL. Having this big screen for the game and not having to worry about setup and finding missing pieces and stuff and following rules. Like,
totally.
House rules are fun. Like when we did the Risk stuff, like the cool thing about the Risk game that we played online is that you can do anything that you could do in real life, even flip the board. But having rules to kind of keep you in line is nice. It'd be nice, like, if the other game, when we were playing Risk, was like, hey, you can't do that unless you really, really want to.
Yeah.
Because, like,
yeah, that and like whose turn it is. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, keep track of certain basic stuff, but also, like, let me have full control because it's a board game. But I like that there's some control because at the end of the day, I don't always have time to remember the rules exactly, and no one does, and nobody wants to have me that one guy that continues to correct you, like, actually, you can't invade right now because there's a full moon. And he's like, what? Maybe that guy's making it up.
I completely agree. I completely agree with all that. I think there's a lot of potential for board games on Switch, and I just really hope they... Yeah, make them online, man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, make them online and do the same thing that they do with Mario Party, where you can, like, draw the line. Like, because if you can put four Switches down next to each other, too.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, this is the board.
That would be really cool.
That'd be cool.
Speaking of Mario Party, I'm still pissed off that you can't do the Mario Party board game.
It's like...
Yeah.
It's like they gave online. Us so much, but they basically ran a marathon and gave up in the last mile. Like...
For the new Mario Party?
I just feel like for a lot of this stuff where it's like, hey, here's these cool things and that one little feature you wanted, like online play for board games and Mario Party, just not there. Like, how cool...
Online for Civ 6.
Yeah. How cool was the fact that characters have specific, like, character-specific dice now? Like, that was so cool. Bowser has, like...
Yeah, I thought...
A high-risk, high-reward die where he's like... Four of the faces are like eights or nines or tens, and the other ones are like -3 or -2 or something.
Yeah,
I just thought that was so badass.
The new Mario Party looks like it's gonna be like a shit ton of fun, but it is. It just is lacking because it's not gonna have online, and it seems really weird because you know that game's coming out on October 5th, and we just found out that Nintendo's online service is coming out. Very soon. In fact, in 5 days.
5 days.
On September 18th. And we also found out finally some real legit concrete details on it.
Yeah.
I guess you could call them that.
Concrete.
Let's go through them.
Okay. So first of all, you're going to be able to play online with your Switch, which is something you can do now a bit in a really shitty way because everything's peer-to-peer, which as you know, peer-to-peer is... really good if you're playing with people that live in your neighborhood and really bad if you're playing with people that live across the country. Mm-hmm. That's not changing.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. That's not changing, which is interesting. They're just apparently taking away the ability to play otherwise if you don't use it. So like if you had Splatoon and you've been playing for free, like in 5 days, you can't play for free anymore is what my understanding.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah exactly. Yeah, and that's
requires
what...
It.
Like, because I don't think I've seen anything about improved network quality. Mm-mm. So that's what really bugs me about this is that like,
yeah,
like $20 isn't that big of a deal to like, you know, adults, people like us. But who is the majority of the people playing Nintendo? It's got to be a lot of kids who are going to have to ask their parent. Like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of kids who just won't be able to play their games online at this point because their parents are going to be like, fuck off. I don't want to spend $20 on your dumb... Like, I already bought you the game, like, you know?
Yeah, the problem, though, is I think we're all remembering when we were kids. There was no online play, and your parents were like, oh, I already bought you the game, you're good. A lot of parents nowadays, though, this has been the norm for the last 15 years with every single other game company.
That is true.
So buying online for the game isn't necessarily a thing that they're like, oh, I'm not going to do. It's almost to be expected. That said, it still sucks if you're little Timmy and you're 8 years old and you're like, I want to play this online and I can't because I don't even know what $20 is. if you're 8 years old and you don't know what $20 is, you should probably put the games
go
down.
Go back to grade one.
But regardless, it is kind of upsetting. I would like for them to be like, hey, we did actually do not peer-to-peer. We just didn't say it because the majority of people don't care and don't know.
Yeah,
It's only the hardcore that are like, oh, yes, peer-to-peer sucks.
Yeah, I just want my Smash Bros. To be smooth, man.
Yeah, I really hope at least...
not going to be.
Like, well, so we don't know that. For existing games, it's probably going to stay the same. It's probably going to still be peer-to-peer. But for new games, Smash, it might have been being developed with that in mind.
Smash, in particular, needs to be...
regulated.
Like... Yeah, like Smash in particular.
Yeah,
100%
agree.
It needs servers.
But even with the way Nintendo approaches Smash, where like they don't they prioritize the competitive nature of Smash Bros. Second, I don't have a lot of faith that it will be.
Yeah. So that's the first one. I think we can all agree that that's not a good selling point.
No.
For the online system. In fact, right now it feels more like a hostage situation.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah. I would compare it a lot to like how Twitch Prime recently took away ad-free viewing. Sure, it's in their rights to do so, and like that's fine. We're still getting like it's a completely reasonable thing, but you're taking away what you've already given us, and that just doesn't feel good no matter how you put it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly right. I have to completely agree with that. Their second selling point was their, and this one's actually pretty cool. It kind of looks like they're creating almost like a Netflix of NES games.
Yeah.
And if they have a lot of games on there from a lot of different developers, not just Nintendo first party games, that actually could be pretty cool. And I see that as a future for how they distribute classic games in general. I don't have a problem with that. And that could also be, part of their reason of the crackdown on ROMs right now. You know, maybe they are somehow getting this library of all these NES games. Like, maybe they are getting the entire library of it. I saw some pretty, what do I want to say? Like, they showed names of, like, Mighty Bomb Jack, which is not a popular game
at all.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was, like, made me go, huh, wow, that's kind of crazy. Like, that's a game that, you know, that's not a game I would expect to be out or a priority for them. So, like, that's cool. Like, maybe they're releasing a large library of games. That's a cool selling point, I will say. They all have online play, which is, like...
It's expected.
Cool?
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's cool because it's Nintendo and we haven't had it in the past. That reminds me, we did skip over the arcade games that are all coming out.
Oh, yeah, the 7 Capcom beat-em-up pack.
Yeah, that looked pretty cool. Mm. That's going to have online. Enough said. But it's Nintendo. So like we're like, oh, cool. They finally gave us something that we should have had with the Wii. But, you know, we'll take it. Hopefully you're right. It's a thing to kind of... That's how they're going to start doing things in general. One thing I have a question about is they said play them anytime, anywhere. Anywhere and anytime implies I also don't have internet to me.
Mm-hmm.
So are they going to be downloaded and I can just choose them or do I have to be online as well?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's very interesting. I didn't even think about that. I would assume you'd have to be online.
Yeah.
Because I felt like it was like a streaming type of thing.
I mean, the games are super small. Like, they're not going to fit in a single packet, but essentially it's like they can fit in a single packet almost. And so, like, it's not going to be a thing that happens where it's like, oh, well, I need a lot of bandwidth. So maybe at the very least, you just can play one game. And then if you're disconnected, you're still playing it, but you can't choose another game.
I mean, just to put in perspective of how small these games are, I guess before the online play, like I guess they're definitely going to add some new code for the online play thing. But a screenshot on your phone of the title screen of Mario 1 is bigger than the game.
Yeah.
Mario 1. Like, as it takes up more data. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Way more data than, like, it's a significant amount more data than Mario 1. And I'm sure it's the same thing. Like, on the screenshot of it for the Switch would take up more data than the actual game, which is kind of funny. But I thought that was, like, one good selling point of the Switch Online. Oh, I have to take it back because they also announced cloud saves with the Switch Online. Yeah. That's cool.
That is really cool. We also got news recently, though, that cloud saves will be on select titles, though.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
okay, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a list exactly of which games will and won't have it, but like...
Never mind. Fuck
and
that.
Even the reason they cited for not adding it to more games was to prevent cheating.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
I don't... If they're on their servers, then no one should be able to modify... Well, okay.
Oh my God.
My thought process is that it's going to be certain games that, like, it's hard. Like, take Diablo 3, I guess, for instance. That's going to be the best one, I think, to use. You could go and, like, obviously there was the auction house originally on PC, but I guess you could, like, kind of re-roll your character and restore your save before like something crazy happened or something. I guess that is to prevent that sort of thing.
But I kind of want to find a list because I don't think it's like talking about third. Like I think they're talking about first party Nintendo titles when they talk about this.
Yeah, I was just using Diablo as like an example of like, but that doesn't matter anymore because the auction house is off. So I don't know. That's a good question. I forgot about the auction house on Diablo 3. Crap. You could make real money. Cloud saving, man. It's not going to prevent cheating. Whatever their reason is bullshit, I feel like, from a technical standpoint.
I think, I got a small list here. We got Splatoon 2, Dark Souls Remaster, and FIFA 19 will all exclude the ability to back up saves.
Okay. Oh, wow. Splatoon 2.
Yeah. The cited reason is to prevent cheating in multiplayer.
See, that's silly because they can already cheat in Splatoon 2.
Yeah, there's so much cheating in Splatoon 2.
Yeah, you can already edit your save. I don't know. Like, unless they're giving us access to the saves online too and then let us re-upload them, like, which they're not, I don't see how you could cheat. But we'll see, I guess. Hopefully that list stays small and it's only a few select titles here and there.
Yeah.
Is Splatoon 2 maybe linked to your Nintendo Network ID? So if you were to, like, your saves doesn't matter at the end?
I don't know. I think it might be.
Because it might just be games that already kind of have their own type of cloud save. And so, like, we don't need to double dip on it.
Yeah, that is potentially possible. I'm not sure.
But that's, you know, that's me being the optimist here. And it's Nintendo, so, you know, curb that enthusiasm.
You guys ready for this hot next exclusive feature for Nintendo Online?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
My God.
Have you ever wanted to have a voice chat with your friends while playing hot Nintendo titles like Mario Kart? And
no.
Splatoon 2?
No.
Just download the Nintendo app on your phone, have a $20 a year subscription, and connect to voice chat with a friend on your phone, and you can!
No.
Oh my God. See, this drives me crazy for so many different reasons. A, because it's dumb. B, we've already established it. B, because we already have it. It's already been out
for a little while.
Of Splatoon 2. We're using it right now, and now you're just going to charge people to use a worse online service than literally Xbox... The original Xbox had?
You guys.
The original Xbox had a better one of this. Dude, GameSpy in 1998 had a better voice chat system than the Nintendo Switch has right now.
But guys,
this is insane.
This works for you and a buddy in the same room, too.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
Let people come in and join and they can backseat game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? That's a selling point,
right?
To
Backseat Gaming 2018.
Yeah, like, you could tell how strapped they were to, like, find features to promote the online with the fact that number five was special promotions that we'll talk about later. We don't got anything right now.
Yeah, we can't do four. I thought you were going to announce that one before the voice. I was ready for that.
Well, that was ridiculous, too. Oh, my God, dude. The way they're handling voice chat, I think the thing that's most infuriating too about the online voice app or the fact that you need a cell phone for it is like they say it's to protect kids, which like should like what kids? I mean, I guess like every kid has a cell phone now, but not every fucking kid's got a fucking brand new iPhone that can like handle an app. I handle like a new app. Anyway, it's not even the point. It's just like Fortnite literally lets you plug in headphones and talk on the Switch right now.
Yeah.
Fortnite.
Yeah.
So you can do it.
Yeah.
It's possible. Like.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Nintendo, come on.
It's 100% like a decision that Nintendo made to be like, you can't talk on voice on the Switch because we don't want you to. Not because it's not there. We just don't want you to.
All the kids they're trying to protect have grown up and are now adults. Like,
I know that's what I don't think Nintendo realizes. Like, I feel like their biggest fans are adults.
Well, like
by far,
since they've always been geared towards kid friendly, but like since online, they're always like, oh, it's to protect kids, and it's like any kids that you were protecting during the Wii era, they're now like adults. Like, and I understand there's more kids now. Like, kids get made all the time. it's just silly. Like, it's like. Come on, Nintendo, grow up with that. It's fine. Look at the other systems. They're doing fine. There's hardly anything about kids being, like, you know, hurt online in terms of voice chat. on game consoles.
I feel like
leave it up to the parents.
It's not stopping anyone to. I mean, there's tons of ways around it too. You could even still require like them being friends,
mm-hmm.
and then have parental codes on accepting friends.
Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, like that. That's a very simple way to do everything you want to do. And allow online voice chat on the fucking console.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so excessive and silly and ridiculous. And it's their online system is at best right now, slightly worse than the original Xbox on version, you know, the original Xbox Live, not the 360.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's above the GameCubes. It's above the PS2s, but it's below the original Xbox. Below the PS3, below the Xbox 360.
It's on par with the Dreamcast.
Not even talking about the new one.
I'm going to say it's on par with the Dreamcast.
I would say it's very slightly better than the Dreamcast, simply because Dreamcast was all about the keyboard. You needed the keyboard to really get some communication going.
Good times.
I loved that Dreamcast keyboard.
So good. So all that's fine and stuff, and you know what? It sucks, but you know what redeems it all? These Nintendo Joy-Con controllers.
Okay, that was really cool.
They are kind of cool. They're too expensive.
$60.
$60 for two. So it's like,
yeah, but it's so funny looking at them docked.
I know. Like I saw the rails on the top of it, and I'm like, oh my god, you could dock them. And then he docked them, and I'm like, okay, that looks fucking dumb.
Yeah.
It does look bad, but I did like that. I did like that. And I'm probably going to be buying them.
Yeah, I think I will also pick up a pair of them because, like, I just want them.
Yeah, I just kind of want them.
Yeah. It's
yeah, I thought that was cool. But, man, like, overall, like, I mean, it's hard to say this, but because $20 is not a lot of money in the grand scheme for an entire year of this quote-unquote service. But I even have to say, like, I feel like that's a ripoff. I do.
The 20 games, honestly, here's what I was thinking. Like, the 20 game subscription for $20 a year, that is a worth it price. Like, that feature alone, $20 a year for a catalog of games that will expand, and it starts with these 20. Like, I'm into it. Like, that's super, super fine. And they would have upset less people if they just did that and left the online still, like, free to play. They might have made a little less money because, you know, not everyone's going to opt into that service. But people love classic games. And $20 a year isn't
a lot.
If
they just advertise it as, like, this is, you know, Nintendo Flix or whatever. I don't know, some dumb name.
Yeah.
Right, right.
You're right. If they would have just advertised it differently, I'd be probably less annoyed.
Question now. Is $20 a year, is that tied to the system or the account? Because there's also the family pack that's like 35.
Well, yes. It says the accounts. And I know you can't change your Nintendo ID anymore.
Yeah.
Like they just sent out a whole bunch of things. So I'm thinking everything's just tied to one account.
So for each Switch in my house, I need to have online.
I think so, yeah.
I mean,
if you want to play online.
I guess,
am I going to play two of my Switches at the same time online?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's that. I thought maybe it was going to be like, oh, yeah, activate your other Switch now, too, and you could probably do, like, up to five or whatever it is, and you could work with your friends and be like, hey, I get this year, you get next year, and we're all link our Switches.
Dude, I highly doubt it. I'm 99.9%. That's not how.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right. I think originally when that was announced, like, oh, there's a family pack, it sounded more like you pay once on the Switch per Switch, but the family pack was like, oh, you got two Switches in the house? That's fine. But I don't think that is anymore, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Overall, I just think this is not a good. This is not a system seller. I want to say this is not a good look. Like it doesn't. Not only does it not feel like this isn't like the future. This is like Nintendo's like in the past on this.
Yeah,
like deep.
Nintendo's good at games. They're good at releasing games that are really cool, and interesting. But their online's always bad. Also, we forgot Star Fox.
Well, no, that's not Star. Yeah, oh my like god, that was a
Star Fox mission.
I know.
Oh, that pissed me off too. Yeah, that, I mean, like, I mean, that's cool that Nintendo's like pimping out their characters to other games. Like, I don't mind that, but that one kind of annoyed me because that's like, oh, just make a fucking Star Fox game right now. Like, I got all excited, like, oh, new Star Fox. And then there's just like, that was a touch me in the morning and walk away. Yeah, I mean, that's how forgettable, that's how annoyed I was. I totally forgot about
absolutely.
It. All right. I feel like we got to move on. We've talked about this Nintendo Direct for, you know, and 900 hours so
sure,
far.
Let's move on
to Final Fantasy Crystal.
No, we actually want to move on to some rather sad news and some rather, I mean, yeah, sad news. I don't really know how to
say
it.
Scary.
Sad and scary. Yeah, terrifying. Terrifying news. Dr. Disrespect, during a live stream, had his house shot at. This was the second day in a row it's happened, which makes it obvious that it's not, it's a targeted incident. You know what I mean? It's not random by any means. And it's scary. I don't know. I think we said a lot about guns after, you know, on an episode 2 weeks ago. So I think we're going to kind of let that episode stand on its own for that section. I don't really know what other to add other than like, this is terrifying. It's not how it should be. Like, you know, people shouldn't be targets just for, just because they're popular on the internet. I don't know.
It
like,
really, it's not it's how it really, should work. It really sucks. Like, it's, I feel like it's the next level of, you ever see like when it happened to people when they get swatted and shit like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the next level of that where someone went through the effort of, once they did get your personal information, your address and all that stuff, instead of like crank calling and getting the SWAT team to your house, which is still super fucking terrible.
Yeah, super
fucked up. But like to go yourself and shoot at someone's house just because they're big on the internet, like there's got to be something loose there, man.
These guys are taking stream sniping completely the wrong way.
Wow.
It's terrible. Oh, that was worse than the joke you thought I made, which I didn't make.
I mean, it's terrible. Like I'm not trying to make light of the situation.
Everyone's okay. Yeah. Everyone's okay, he's alerted authorities, but
it's being handled.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying, absolutely. And like people don't want to go through this. No one should have to go through this in anything in life. I don't know. It
scares the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It terrified. It's someone, I'm about to have a baby and it terrified me. It scared the shit out of me. Just the thought or the idea of like, of that whole thing. It did. It honestly did. It shook me to the core. Like I, you know, I feel like I'm taking every precaution and I don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. Like the whole idea of it is, I don't know. It's just, that's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's being handled. Hopefully it gets resolved and, you know, the person responsible is brought to justice. Because it's, you don't know who it is. It's so tough. So, you know, hopefully Doc, you've been mentioned on the podcast many times. You've been, you know, joked on. We're all with you, on this. Cause this is something
we're all
bigger
with you on
than any one of us.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
He's a listener, guys.
I think we just want to send our, like, you know, I mean, thoughts and prayers is kind of bullshit, but we just want to, you know, we're with you. Like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of other things,
I think that's all we got to say about that.
Yeah, I think we can move into this week's
hot take. Hot take. Wait, actually, one more thing about Doc. He did take off his wig
which
is kind of weird. This is I know horribly insensitive right now to talk about, but like during, he came out of character and took off his wig, and all I could think about was just like, dude, this is a good look for you. You should totally roll with this look. Like, he looked good.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. He had like the silver gray hair.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a bad looking dude.
Hot take on your hair. Yeah.
Hot take.
All right. Now for the second.
Let's go into this week's hot take.
So for anyone who is paying attention to like any single person on Twitter who has ever uploaded a YouTube video that involves Super Mario World, you would know that Geek and Sundry earlier this week, a popular YouTube channel that's just based around like a ton of like RPG type content and video games to a smaller extent, had sent a takedown to any video that contained Super Mario World content after having Super Mario World content in one of their live streams. And this resulted in like every person whose videos got like the request sent after just immediately blocked, like removed, not able to, like people couldn't see them anymore. You couldn't like find them on YouTube anymore, just completely blocked. And I guess the hot take is now that like YouTube has given power to other creators to do these takedowns, when does the guilty until proven innocent mentality that these broadcasting websites have stop?
Right. Let's also, we should say that the problem has been resolved.
Yes.
It took them a few days to reply, which I thought was kind of bullshit. And they did blame it on like a glitch. Which is also bullshit.
They said it was through something through, I don't know how the claiming works.
Yeah. I don't believe their response. But that said, hopefully it doesn't happen again with them. But yeah, the content creators have the power to basically say, I own this content on any channel essentially right now on YouTube. And so what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's a big old can of worms.
It's a large can of worms. And they're kind of going, Twitch and YouTube, this is a problem on both platforms, are kind of going with a, what do I want to say, like a guilty until proven innocent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get a it's DMCA kind of system, or a takedown like aimed at you. They don't care if it's true or not. They'll take your shit down and then wait for you to, you know, clear the air.
Yeah. Yeah. And sadly, it has to be like that due to the law and just the nature of it right now. Because if they are in fact infringing, or it is something that, you know, is worse than just infringing copyrights, you want that taken down as soon as possible, and you don't want to have to be like, oh, well, we weren't sure if it was or not. That said, though, I think, you know, content creators that abuse this should definitely be punished. In the past, you know, when you would get a DMCA on YouTube, the person that gave it, there was nothing to stop them from doing it. There was no punishment system. There was nothing. I know, Grand Pooh Bear, you had your struggles on YouTube with claiming all your Mario Maker videos all the time for various reasons.
It still happens.
Yeah, it still happens. You have to work around, you find the tricks that work for now, and then they catch on too. But like, it's a big deal. But at the end of the day, like, they could just keep doing it every day. They could have just flagged your videos in general for any reason, and there was no consequence to them.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think that's the big thing. It's just like, I don't know, what happens after that, you know?
Yeah. So I think really the guidelines need to be, you know, set forth on the people that are submitting these complaints, and there needs to be some sort of three strikes and you're out sort of thing. Like, if you claim three wrong videos and three different creators fight them and it goes in their favor, then like, you're obviously doing like bogus charges.
Yeah, there should definitely be a system where if someone is claiming copyrights against others and is wrong, there should be a system to, like, after three strikes, maybe just make it so like, all right, we're no longer taking the same approach. Now when you claim other content, you will have to provide proof that will then be reviewed by a team instead of the other way around. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not even reviewed by a team right now. That's the other problem, is like, none of that gets reviewed by a team until like I dispute it sort of
thing. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, in the future, it would have to, like, after the three strikes, the copyright or the claim made by, for example, Geek and Sundry before action is taken, once their reputation is bad, would be like, need to be approved.
Yeah, it's ridiculous all around. I like, it's 2018. There's a lot better ways to do this. This used to be the response in the early 2000s, late 2000s. Because it was the way to do it. As a web hosting provider, we would get all sorts of DMCAs, and we would look at the file names, and we would take action immediately, and then send emails over to the server user and be like, "Hey, this is what we got. We had to remove these files. If it's an error, let us know. But like, we have to act on this because otherwise we are in trouble. Mm-hmm. It starts affecting us because we are aiding and abetting or whatever. I don't remember the exact terms, but."
Yeah, YouTube has a long way to go in terms of like being helpful towards their community.
Yeah.
But even Twitch had an incident in the last week that was similar to this with Lyric getting his stream, I think, banned temporarily. It was like a duration of about 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the biggest streamers in the world.
You know what I found really funny about that too is like, Twitch RPG sent out a survey that had you watch one of his videos during that time,
mm-hmm.
and you couldn't watch
it. And he was banned.
He was banned.
Yeah. I thought that one was also ridiculous because he was only playing Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. So it was a false claim.
Yeah.
Like it was just a wrong false claim, and they still took his game. They still took his whole stream down for 12 hours, which might sound like nothing. You're like, oh, whatever, 12 hours. Like he gets a day off. Like Lyric could be making he's making thousands upon thousands of dollars a day, and I don't care who you are, when you feel a hit like that, it sucks, especially on a day you didn't want to be your off day, you were planning on streaming, like whatever, it's bullshit. Yeah, it's bullshit and it's wrong, and he's okay because he's Lyric and people will acknowledge him.
Yeah,
but if it's someone smaller, like you know what I mean, if it's you or me or like any of these other guys, like I might be okay, even I might still be on the cusp, but like who knows, like
it could take like even like a week to get it resolved. Like if you don't, I'm sure Lyric can be like, okay, open up his phone and, you know, get on hold with anyone at Twitch that he wants because he's Lyric, right? Mm-hmm. Like we have a couple of people we could reach out to, Pluto, for example. But like other than that, when something like this would happen to us, and even if you consider streamers like at a like affiliate level, like people who don't have an avenue to talk to their partner rep. Yeah, this kind of thing can happen to them. And there will be literally nothing they can do. And all because
there's no chance
UEFA copyrighted something that they or sent a DMCA for a copyright that doesn't apply to what they're claiming.
Yeah. Well, and Poo, you said it like, oh, so you get a day off. Man, if you know he was stressing out. He didn't have a day off. If anything,
that's not a day off.
Yeah, it's not a day off at all. It's a stressful day. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, because I saw a lot of people that were like, this isn't a big deal. It was just whatever. It was just 12 hours. Right. Like, it's a big deal. It's a big deal that this can happen.
Yeah, like if you go to your office job and you get there and some dude's just like, get the fuck back home. Get out of here. Don't come here. Like, you wouldn't be like, that's a day off. You'd be like, shit, do I still have a job? Like, what's going on? I got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The whole thing was fucked up. It was the whole thing was wrong. Both of those situations just kind of show that like there needs to be some sort of process. And I think the issue is that the process needs to be fast. And there's for both ends, you know what I mean? For legit copyright claims and for people that are getting, you know, unrightfully claimed, there needs to be a process. It needs to be fast for both sides. With the massive amount of claims and the massive amount of shit that goes on the internet, seems impossible, man. You know, like it does. Like this problem's only going to get worse. This is not a problem that's going to go away. This is not a problem that's going to disappear. This is a problem that is, as it currently stands, the way the laws are written and everything else now, it's only going to get worse. And especially as more and more people try to, what do I want to say, take advantage of these situations. Like, I don't know if you guys, if any of you out there ever post videos about Nintendo. Nintendo's not always the one that claims those videos. Sometimes it's these little, these fake companies that will claim, a lot of gamers especially, they'll claim your YouTube videos as copyright and just hope you don't dispute it.
Yeah, and they get like pennies at most.
And that's how they make
it. It adds up.
That's how they make money. Like that's their whole company. Like they just claim copyright to videos they don't own, make pennies on the video, and do another one.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then it's insane. Like, and there's companies that do this over and over and over again, especially with video games, and you have to dispute that shit. And I don't know. There's just, it's not a good system right now. The system needs to change. I don't know how it can change.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I don't have a solution. It just, someone's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not an easy solution to fix, but it does need to change. People need to, the problem is people get upset about the one-offs that happened, the twos that we mentioned, and then they kind of forget about it until the next big one happens. You need to keep at it. It's the only way for change to actually take action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think this is a situation where content creators need to, and this is something else though that needs, I mean, this is just maybe a general more thing though. Content creators need to be more apt to band together, especially the ones, the biggest ones. You know, there's a reason that like the NBA players union has power because they're banded together and they're one collective voice.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There's
streamers. We could be one collective voice if we.
Yeah, there's power in numbers. And the problem is like you said, he got a day off. A lot of smaller streamers were like, he got a day off. That's cool. Great. Good for him. Well, not everyone understands like, no, that's bad. Not only for him, but it's bad for you. At the end of the day, if we all came together and and, you know, rose against this problem together, we'd be in a much better position than if we're all like, oh, he's fine, or, oh, it doesn't bother me because it doesn't affect me. It does at the bottom, and you just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Like, streamers need to be aware of the fight of other streamers and content creators. Like, it's something that, you know, stuff like free use is something that should be important to most people. And, you know, this and you know, having a good way to not get boned on content ID claims, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other things. Shit, our healthcare. That's something else.
Oh, man.
Anyway, that's a whole nother story. But yeah. Cool. I don't know if we have time for side questions today.
Yeah, I mean, we could do one quick one.
Let's get a side question and see how we're feeling.
One quick side question. Who's going to be the lucky winner?
TwoBagger33 asks.
TwoBagger33.
If you could go back in time and relive the lead up, the hype, and anticipation of a new game release and its first playthrough, what game would it be and why?
OT felt like we were going to the next level of games leading up to it, and honestly, after playing it the first time, it felt like this is something that I've never played before, and I would say that was definitely the one for me. That was the hypest game I think I've ever been about a game. That was the hypest in my life.
That's fair. I feel like if I were like a teenager when it came out, I would totally get where you're coming from.
I was a teenager. Yeah. I was in high school for Majora's Mask, I think.
Yeah, we were middle school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think by the time I played OOT, it was like already out for a few years, and I'm like, hey, this is a cool game. not so much like the game itself, but I would relive the hype and build up of Smash Bros. Brawl any day of the week. That was creme de la creme for me, man.
Yeah, that was hyped.
I would rollerblade home from school at lunch every day to go on the internet and check the Smash Bros. Dojo update before like I came back to school, so I could like tell all my friends about it. And like the day they announced Sonic, I'm pretty sure I had to change my pants before I came back to school. I was so excited.
Wow. I'm gonna go with Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles.
Oh my god.
I think I would go N64 era. I might just do Mario 64 with the launch of the console as well. But like as a kid, we were still teenagers, so like it's not super clear in my mind. It was definitely like hyped up, and I think I'd like to see that as an adult to see how hyped it was. And not to just relive it as that age.
That's fair.
That's how I'm interpreting this question. Because like I thought Super Nintendo maybe with Zelda, but like games weren't that big then. And I feel like N64 PlayStation is where it all went to the next level. Marketing was a lot more in your face and a lot more hyped. And so just 64 era would be a good time to go back and check out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right. Well, that's it. Episode 61 in the books. 61. Done.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you all to the Patreons out there for subscribing and giving us some money and listening and sending your questions in last week. It was great.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
We liked it.
Thanks for Patreoning and listening to our podcast, guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.